Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of Trust, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 5, 2016. It is Steve Best 7, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Ivory Palaces. Mahjong has gone so wondrous fine, and mother texture film. His fragrance series to his heart of mine, with joy of being thrilled. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His life had all so his sorrow sore, for all those had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His garments too were in cassia dipped, with healing in a tart. Each time my feet in some sin has slept, he took me from this flood. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love make my Savior go. In garments glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Abominations That Make It Desolate. We're going to part two. We're in Jeremiah 32 today. We're going to start with the first verse. Said the word that came into Jeremiah before the Yahweh in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was in the 18th year of the Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of the Judah's house. For the Zedekiah king of Judah had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith Yahweh, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth. And his eyes shall behold his eyes, and he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith Yahweh. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Behold, Hananiah, the son of Shallum, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of the redemption is thine to buy it. So Hananiah, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of Yahweh, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee. There is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Yahweh. Now, I bought the field of Hananiah, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidences and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money and the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hananiah, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witness, that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith Yeshua, Yahweh of the host, the Elohim of Israel, take the evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith Yeshua of hosts, the Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh Elohim, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out armed, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty Elohim, the Elohim of the host, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according unto his ways and according unto the fruit of his doings, which has such signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and hath made thee a name as at this day, and hath brought forth thy people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt, with signs, and with wonders, and with strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and hath given them this land, which thou didst swear unto their fathers, to give them, and a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law, They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans, that's your Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar's band, that fight against it because of the sword of the famine and of the pestilence, and what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it, and thou hast said unto me, O Yahweh Elohim, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses for the day. For the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Yahweh, the Elohim of all, Yahweh of all flesh. We don't use that name, Elohim, anymore. It don't mean what we thought it meant. It means false gods. Is there anything too hard for me? So at this point we use Yahweh exclusively for the Father, and maybe some other choices, but not Elohim. Therefore thus saith the Yahweh, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on their city, and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth, for the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, says Yahweh. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day that I should remove it from before my face, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah. Okay, now folks, when I say children of Israel, and when the scripture, this is Jeremiah 32:32, whenever it reads, because of the evil of the children of Israel, you put parentheses, Seventh-day Adventist Church today, because Sister White said they're the spiritual Israel of today, and of the children of Judah. Okay, so the children of Judah then is your Davidian shepherd's rod. So your children of Judah is Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. So we separate them here. It's children of Israel, 10 tribes, and the children of Judah. They made a distinction here in Jeremiah 32:32, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And we know that Yahweh supplied prophets for Israel today, for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And Ellen G. White was the first one. And then V.T. Holliff was the second prophet supplied for Judah, which is the two tribes of Israel, representing the Adventist Church, the lawgiver. And then you had Ben Rhoda succeeded V.T. Holliff after V.T. Holliff's death as a voice of inspiration to the Adventist Church. And then you had Rhoda Johnson that succeeded Ben Rhoda, 1970, as a voice of inspiration to the Adventist Church. And he also came out of Judah. Rhoda came out of Judah. He was converted into the 10 tribes of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but then he joined Judah in 1946. Rhoda Johnson joined the Adventist Church about 1939, And then he joined the House of Judah, the Davidian Shepherd Rod, in 1946. And then he joined the Branch Davidian movement, the third step of the Genuine Movement of the Seventh-day Adventists in 1970. So Verlis Johnson, the voice of inspiration to the Adventist Church, covered three fields. He covered Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Adventist, Davidian Adventist, and Branch Davidian Adventist. So it says, because of the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princesses, meaning their prophets, and their priests, meaning their ministers, also of the altar, and their prophets, men with inspiration, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the capital of Judah, and only the leaders and certain people lived in Jerusalem that ruled Judah. The rest lived outside of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a holy city that's designated for the leadership to have their place of living. It's supposed to be in Jerusalem. The leadership, the prophets and so forth, are not supposed to live outside of Jerusalem in the cities. They're supposed to dwell in the temple, which is at Jerusalem. Okay. Jeremiah 32:33. Let us continue. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. That this fits Adventist perfectly today. So the children of Israel, children of Judah, have always done this. Clear up to 2002. When Yahweh finally cut off Israel and Judah, when he brought the Adventist work to a close in 2002 at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, starting at the Passover and ended at the Passover of 2003. They had 1 year. Judah had 1 year to repent and get it right, and they refused to do it. So the rest is history. Jeremiah 32:34. But they set their abomination in the house which is called by my name to defile it. So I was wondering, how would I identify the Seventh-day Adventist with these Old Testament scriptures and connect him up to the children of Israel in the Old Testament? And Yahweh just gave it to me by showing me that the children of Israel and the children of Judah, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, have always been in rebellion. They've always committed abominations in the house of Yahweh. Okay. So it says in Jeremiah 32:34, but they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile. So who did this in our day? This prophecy is a latter-day prophecy. This is no good for ancient Israel and all the Israel that's gone before at this time. This only applies to this last movement of the children of Israel in the earth. So, it says, but they, the Seventh-day Adventists, and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, the Shepherd Rod, they have set their abominations in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is called by my name, to defile it. And go on, verse 35, it says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Now they came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Jeremiah 32:36. So the 10 tribes, Seventh-day Adventists, what did they do? They built the high places of Baal. And who is Baal? That's Satan, Lucifer. You can interchange the name of Baal, which the heathen made a god, and those that Israel that apostatized back then, they created an image. Now keep in mind that Baal is the name of a true person that lived back then. He was a minister and they called him a prophet. And when he died, they made him a god. But he was a false prophet. But they made him a god and called him Baal. And that was his real name in life. Okay. So when they built the high places, who's they? The Seventh-day Adventists. Since 1844, they built the high places of Baal, of Satan, of Lucifer, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters, the Seventh-day Adventist members. Now you find this allegory in Hosea. And their three children, Hosea and his three children. He had two sons, Jezreel and Ammah, and I believe it's that, and then the daughter was Ruhamah, to pass through the fire unto Molech. My goodness, that is a terrible, terrible idol today that the world uses. And the Bohemian Groves out in California, all the elite of the world meets there, that belongs to the occult of Skull and Bones. And they meet out there, and the number one idol is this Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So the Seventh-day Adventists committed the first abomination that caused Judah, the lawgiver, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, Shepherd Rod, caused them to sin also. Okay. Jeremiah 32:36. And now therefore, thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, concerning this city, the Seventh-day Adventist church, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Well, you know what? That's exactly what has happened. For the general conference that represents the second team of horses that took charge of the church of the Adventist Church in 1890, when they took over and took full control, represented by those Jesuit priest infiltrators that Ellen G. White saw in vision and printed in Volume 1 of the Testimonies, page 578. I believe it's Volume 1. But anyway, I'll double-check that. And so the Babylonians took over the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1890. The antithetical Nebuchadnezzars, the General Conference President and his officers, they took over, his princes, they took over the Seventh-day Adventist Church and took the Seventh-day Adventist Church into captivity, 1890, when they rejected the message of Jonathan Wagner, righteous by faith, and the General Conference leadership caused the majority of the Adventists to reject Jonathan Wagner, and at the same time reject Ellen G. White. Okay. Causing Ellen G. White to write the book the book Testimonies of Ministers, which was reproof and admonition. She wrote to the General Conference leadership. That's what the book was. Councils on the ministers. Okay, and so she wrote that book. That's the only thing she produced for the next 25 years of her life, from 1890 to 1915, was counsel and reproof to the Adventist ministers. at a general conference. So it says in Jeremiah 32:37, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in the great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely." I'm going to bring them back to the land of Israel. "And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, assuredly, with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith Yahweh, likewise I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them." Who's going to be the one to be the recipients of all this good? It's 144,000. The first fruits will be the first ones to be the recipient of all these wonderful promises that Yahweh made to ancient Israel. Jeremiah 32:43. "And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof you say it is dusted without man or beast, it is given into the hand of the Chaldean. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountain and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith Yahweh." So the children of Israel are still in captivity in the Adventist church today, and Judah, both of them, the 12 tribes, 144,000, but they're waiting for their deliverance, and their deliverance is nigh at hand. So that ends Jeremiah 32. Let's see now. Let's go ahead and continue into Jeremiah 33. Okay, Jeremiah 33, verse 1. "Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah." Now keep in mind, it says, "moreover." And it means in addition to. Above and beyond has already been said about him, about the children of Israel. It says, "moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, the maker thereof." The Yahweh that formed it to establish it, the Yahweh is his name. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, Jeremiah 33:3. Verse 4, "For thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, concerning the house..." No, I said I wasn't going to use that word Elohim no more. It's a habit. "Thus saith Yahweh..." And then I'm going to say the creator of Israel, and in the place of God, I'm going to put the creator of Israel, "concerning the houses of the city and concerning the houses of the kings of the Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and food." Now, what are we reading about here? See, verse 6 again. "Behold, I will bring it health." Let's back up to verse 5. "They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city." Now today the city would translate into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. "I have hid my face from the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. Behold, I will bring it health and cure." and I will cure them. In other words, he said, I'm going to bring health and cure to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Who is this one that he's going to reveal this to? The one that he had brought health and cure to. And that's the 144,000. He said, and I will cure them, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, by bringing forth a purified section of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that's the 144,000, that are going to be my anointed prophets, priests, and kings that sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, judging their brethren. I'm going to choose judges from among the 144,000 that sit upon 12 thrones judging their brethren and revealing them the abundance of peace and truth. He's going to reveal now under this here group that he brought health and cure to, he's going to reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. So what is it saying here? Verse 7, Jeremiah 33, let's read it again. And I will cause the captivity of Judah, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, the lawgiver, and the captivity of Israel, the 10 tribes, Ephraim, a kingdom of the north, Seventh-day Adventist Church, kingdom of the north. Judah is the kingdom of the south. The Shepherd Rod Davidians, they have their headquarters at Waco, Texas, the south country. Okay, it says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. Who's he going to do that? The 144,000. He's going to cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. It shall come to pass, they shall know. And it shall be unto me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth. So the 144,000 are going to do a great honor to their king, the one that created them. And it shall be a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all their goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Now, you could take this prophecy here in Jeremiah 33:9 that I just read to you. You could apply that to the United States and the latest development of the emerging king of the United States, Donald Trump. And typical King Cyrus. What has he done since he's come on the scene? He's brought a name of joy, praise, and honor. He's exalted the United States now back to a place where the world got to the place where all the nations hated the United States. They had deplored it. But Donald Trump now has exalted the United States back to the number one status in the world with a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth. So much so that ever since Donald Trump won the election on November the 8th, November the 9th, the stock markets all over the world jumped. And they've been flourishing ever since. They've been going practically a whole month now in the positive side all over the world. All right, let's go ahead. Which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto them. So they're going to fear and tremble. Who's going to fear and tremble? Their adversaries. They're going to fear and tremble for all the good that Yahweh is doing unto his church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The terrors of those that fought against it, they're going to fear and tremble. Okay. Jeremiah 33:10. Thus saith Yahweh again, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate without man, without beast, and even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man, without inhabitant, and without beast. For the voice of the joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Yahweh of hosts, for the Yahweh is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Yahweh, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Yahweh. Thus saith the Yahweh of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, and unto the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Okay. So now it says, in those days will I cause a... Let's read verse 14 again. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to the house of Judah, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, the Shepherd's Rod, and to the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. And he's proven that out because he's chosen a prince out of Gilead Center, the third feeding pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist, the third step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventist. He's chosen a prince, a prophet, a king, and typical David, out of that third house, the Branch Davidians of Seventh-day Adventist. And so he's fulfilling all this information by revealing all of these wonderful promises and prophecies made unto the house of Israel and Judah. He's revealing them to his servant Elijah David today, showing that this is where he's working at. And he causing his servant Elijah David to reiterate these promises that he has made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So this is a promise now that is directed directly at the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Branch Davidians and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Shepherd Rod. All right, Jeremiah 33:15. In those days, and at that time, what time? At the time when he returns the captivity of his people, which is 2016, is when the gates of the two leaf gates have been opened on at Babylon that Donald Trump has opened to let the captives go free in 2016. In 2017, they will make their journey back to their promised land with the help of Antipater Cyrus and his finances and his orders that he gives to all the nations along the way. He's going to send orders that you help these people with your gold and your silver, and you help them get back to their land. You help them get back to their city. You help them to get back and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple with your finances and with your soldiers and with your protection that you can give them. So Yahweh is going to cause the Gentile nations now to finance Judah first to go back and possess the land because she's the lawgiver. Okay, Jeremiah 33:16, in those days shall Judah be saved. That's your Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, Shepherd's Rod, and Branch Davidian, Gilead Center. And Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. the Yeshua of righteousness. When the two tribes are joined back together, when the two great kingdoms, the 10 tribes Israel and the two tribes Judah are joined back together, then that's when they're going to have a wedding. And that's when Yeshua is going to reclaim them as his bride again. And they're going to be called by his name, the Yeshua of righteousness. Yeshua is the sacred name for the Son, Yahweh's Son, Yeshua. Okay, so who are they going to be married to? They're going to be married to the Son. Okay, Jeremiah 33:17. For thus saith the Yahweh, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. This is poor grammar by the translators, and I'm going to reread that again and correct their. I'm going to correct their grammar. I think the scholars that wrote the King James Bible, I think that they had enough skill that they could have done a lot better than this. And I'm going to do this again. For thus saith the Yahweh, David, anciently, will never be without a man sitting upon the throne of Israel. There will always be someone to come forth in its appointed time when the kingdom of Judah is in existence. They will always, when the kingdom of Israel, as Judah comes forward, they will always be an antitypical David sitting upon the throne of, or son of David, I mean, sitting upon the throne of David. Alright, verse 18, Jeremiah 33. Neither shall the priest of Levites want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Okay, this is negative grammar. Neither shall the priest Levite want a man. In other words, talking like that, they will never want a man to do this. No. He should have said, for the priests and Levites will always want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to sacrifice continually. That's the way it should read. Jeremiah 33:19. And the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. Okay. Then he says in verse 21, and then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne. There it is right there. And with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Okay. Verse 22, and the host of heaven cannot be numbered. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Over the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, saying, consider thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Yahweh hath chosen, he hath even cast them all. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will cause the captivity to return and have mercy on them. Okay. So let's go back and review a little bit here now in Jeremiah 33:23. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah saying, now I said, in addition to all of this, what he's already said, he says, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying that the two families which the Yahweh hath chosen, the 10 tribes, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the 2 tribes, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, the Shepherd Rod, and the Branch Davidians, Gilead Center. Keep in mind, Carmel and Gilead Center are Shepherd's Rod. They're Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, only with two different messages. One, the Shepherd's Rod had the Micah 6:9, hear ye the rod and hear ye the pointed. And Brother Johnson had the Branch Davidians, was here the branch and who hath appointed it. And that was the message of Yahshua. So he says, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying that the 2 families which Yahweh has chosen, he hath even cast them all? How many times have you heard the Seventh-day Adventists say, oh my goodness, Yahweh, he rejected ancient Israel. He rejected them at the cross, and he chose a new people. And in these last days, he's chosen us. He has rejected old Israel. That's what it says right here. Considerest thou not what this people, the Seventh-day Adventists, has spoken, saying that the 2 families which the Yahweh hath chosen, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, he hath even cast them all. That's what Adventists say today. Thus, they have despised my people, that there should be no more nation before them. So the Seventh-day Adventists have ended up despising Israel and trying to change their appearance and name to suit the idolatrous churches around them and want to be like them. That they have despised my people. This is the Adventist church that has despised Yahweh's people of old. That they should be no more a nation before them. They don't. Sister White said the Adventists are the spiritual Israel today, but the Adventist says no. We don't want to recognize ancient Israel as being our forefathers. We don't want them held up before us all the time as an example and a type that we have to reckon with. And the antitype. No, we don't want that. But they're going to get it whether they want it or not, because Jeremiah 33:25 says, thus saith Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, there's your creation calendar that Brother Johnson brought forth, showing how Yahweh governs the sanctuary system with that moon, because he made a covenant with the sun, the moon, the stars, that they would govern Yahweh's government here on earth. They would govern the sanctuary system. If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, what are those ordinances for? Go check the law of Moses about ordinances. You'll find out that these are what he has appointed to govern the services of the sanctuary. Then will I cast away the seed of Jacob, and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will cause the captivity to return and have mercy on them. So, whether you like it or not, Seventh-day Adventist, you're going to see the locks of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob again. Because now I'm going to turn to you, Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to prove it to you. In Matthew 8, actually, starting with verse 10, it says, when Yahshua heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in it all in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, the Seventh-day Adventists, and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, the Shepherd's Rod, that have rejected the notion that they should always keep the children of Israel before them until the end of time, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:10 through 12. Okay. So now, what is that telling us? Whether you like it or not, Seventh-day Adventists and Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, Israel is going to come forth, and the world is going to be proud that Yahweh has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. And I'm going to read that to you there in Psalms 105, verse 8, 9, and 10. I'm going to read that to you. It says, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Okay, there you have it right there. Yahweh said he has remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now I'm going to go to Luke chapter 1. In the New Testament now, and I'm going to show you where Yahweh has confirmed here in the New Testament about this covenant that he made with Abraham by a promise for 1,000 generations, at least down to the end of time. It says in Luke 1:26, it says, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from Yahweh unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, unto a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay. Verse 32, Luke chapter 1. And he shall be great. Let's look at verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the High, and Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay. And so you can go ahead and confirm that there in Jeremiah 33:17 and Acts chapter 2. And then you go to verse 69 of Luke chapter 1. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now this is a Latter-day prophecy here. And he spake by the mouth of his heart. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised unto our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Here it is right there, Psalms 105, verse 8, right there. He has remembered his covenant forever to Abraham, to 1,000 generations. It was only 42 generations. From Adam down to the cross. So, well, we have about 958 more generations to go. That takes us into the heavens. Takes us into eternity for this covenant to be fulfilled. Okay, it says in Luke 1:73, the oath which he swore unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all the days of our life. And thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest. This is Yahshua, he's called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Yahweh, and prepare his ways. Okay, well, what is his way? Psalm 77:13 says, I will Yahweh is in the sanctuary. And verse 77, Luke chapter 1. To give knowledge of the salvation. I'll reread that again. To give knowledge of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua unto his people by the remission of their sins. through the tender mercy of our Elohim, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the desert, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Thus here is fixed to be revealed once again unto Israel today, the spirits of Israel today, the seven dead in the church, when he stands on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1. Then the seven dead in the church are going to know exactly the true meaning of what I just read to you there in Luke chapter 1. When he reveals himself by standing on the Mount Zion, and I'm going to close this service now with Revelation chapter 14. It says that, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, and I heard a voice from the heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song. Well, where is the song recorded at if it was before? It's recorded, I believe, in Deuteronomy 31. Moses made a writing of it and put it in a book at the side part of the ark for a witness in the last days for the children of Israel. Okay. So it says that they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. Okay. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close down with a song. Dusty Roses, Sound of Faith. Song that I've written in Elijah David.
I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world couldn't do. Change the water into wine, just a deal he was blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roses and no feet, clothes that he was going to be. Those golden stitches are placed in the land where someday we all shall be. Author of the story, Dusty Roses and Gold Leaf. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, but there's nothing in this world I couldn't do. Change the water into wine, catch that thing. And that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, through those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, Dusty roads and no feet. Dusty roads were his companion, desert places his abode, and those feet were often weary underneath the heavy load. Never complaining as he went along the way, on the way he came out Calvary, and the judgment day. Dusty roads and those feet, how would you like to meet that man named Joshua?
down your old street. It's been a sad year since I'm a penitent. Or would you be like your own be? Dusty roads and no feet. All the daddy was complete. Come to the manger, to the cross. To those golden streets, to a place. The story, Dusty Rose and Sandal Bean. The author of the story, Dusty.